For a couple of weeks, I did my best to get her to leave this toy alone, but my efforts of securing it or hiding it were unsuccessful. So I eventually gave in and purchased a brand new one for her. Thankfully, she accepted the new one instead of the one that she kept stealing. Some battles just aren't worth it. Before we dive in, a warning. The content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic. So listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs. Understanding their brains and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you, and having a few laughs along the way. Happy Valentine's Day, HMD family! I thought it might be fun to do a Valentine's Day episode, and then I was like, well, I don't really know what kind of topic we're doing. And then I was like, actually, a topic that I know so many of you have requested is how to get family members or friends on board, right? When it comes to your dog owning and your dog training journey. Because sometimes that can be a little bit tricky, can't it? It can be a little bit challenging to figure out how to fit them into your journey. And I think one thing to say right from the offset is that everybody means well, right? I think the challenge is that sometimes family members didn't sign up to the journey. And maybe you didn't sign up to that journey, but now you've signed up to it and you're like, you know, you're clear, you're enjoying the journey. They might not still have signed up for it. And so we sometimes have to approach it with a little bit of like kindness and assuming the best. Yeah, assuming, you know, that they mean well. Even when you're like, why did you do that? I've told you not to do that so many times. That's so frustrating. We get it. Yeah, totally get it. And, you know, we're really lucky in that we both, you know, are fully subscribed to the journey in our household, and you know that's a good job. We have 8 wonderful dogs, right? And they're our world, and we literally spend our days, you know, doing things with them, and that's great. But I know that that's not the case for everyone, and certainly I've been in different dog owning household situations. I've had to get parents on board in terms of, you know, their choices that they make around my dogs in the past. We've had people staying and getting them, you know, on board and you know, not causing problems. And I even had my first dog while I was at vet school and all the things that, you know, came with that. You know, I was sharing a house. So, you know, I've had the full spectrum. And so over the years, I've developed some sneaky strategies that you can use to onboard your family members and friends as well and get them, you know, fully moving in the same direction, right? Because ultimately that's what it's all about. So I'll do some like rapid fire tips so that you've got clear, actionable things to take away. First tip for you, a tip for you to get family members on board is, rather than thinking about what you don't want them to do, right? Because that list is probably really long, right? I don't want you, you know, just handing out food for the wrong thing. I don't want you, I don't know, rewarding them for jumping up, whatever you're working on right now. Instead, what things do you want them to do? And when you've figured out what you do want them to do or what would be useful for them to do, you've got two options. And the first option, which is part of this first tip, is just catch them doing that for just a second. Yeah? catch them doing it for, you know, a split second, a moment in time, and then tell them that they're doing a great job. Yeah, say, I love it how you just gave them a bit of food for lying on their bed. That's really cool, yeah? Because if you do that, they're going to do it more, and it's not a conflict and it's not going to be a battle. And I know that that can be tough, and I know so many of you, and I know what I'm like as well. When somebody's been doing the wrong thing for so long, it takes a big person to actually, you know, tell them they're doing a great job when they're doing it right. What you've got to realize is that's going to make a big picture change. That's going to be a real, like, step in a different direction. So forget them telling them what not to do. Instead, catch those little moments where they do it right. Or maybe they did it right by accident. Yeah. Maybe they didn't reward the dog for jumping up because actually they were busy, I don't know, putting their keys in the drawer when they just got in. And you catch them in that moment, you say, I love it how you ignored them for jumping up. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give them a bit of food for getting on their bed, and then you can go and say hello to them. I love it. We're making progress, right? And they're like, ooh, wow, I'm a dog trainer, yeah? So that's the first one. Second one, guys, is once you've identified what you'd like them to do, actually let them know what you'd like them to do. I think often people get a little bit, they switch off from dog training or they switch off from dog owning conversations because in the past, it's been a little bit like, we can't do this, we can't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And so we've got to almost get them listening again, a little bit like with our dogs. And the way that we get our dogs listening is we give them a bit of a good deal, yeah? We direct them in a positive way. We give them insights into, you know, how they can get involved, and it can be fun. And so one little, almost like a framework that I use, and I use it, you know, I'll be honest, I use it with humans in the dog training sense. I use it with, if I'm coaching someone on behavior, I use it with the behave vet team, because it's such a reliable and nice framework to communicate something. And so what I'll say is something along the lines of, I loved it how, you know, a couple of days ago, you know, when I said it was great how you ignored them for jumping up, and that, you know, they really, like, you could see they really learned something in that moment. That was just so cool. I love it. My next challenge, right, is, you know, could we ignore them while we're prepping dinner? And maybe could we feed them on the bed? Like, I think that would be a cool way for us to level up and take their learning to the next level. What do you reckon? And of course, that's how I speak, right? And that might not be how you speak. But that whole framework of saying, I hear it, is me acknowledging that you did something in sometimes a very small way. Now my challenge is, wouldn't it be cool if we could level it up? My next challenge for you is, right? Then what you do is you almost present it as a game. You are not presenting it as a, you must do this. We're saying, hey, our next challenge is to do this because it levels up their learning, right? So you're not making it that the other person is the problem or that what they're doing has caused this. Instead, it's a much more passive way of directing, you know, where we want this to go. And so actually, that is going to really impact them, and they're going to really have to figure that out. And they, you know, we're going to see the light bulbs go off when we do this, in them, right? And so I think sometimes we almost have to decide how we're going to speak to someone and do that in a really productive way, because often we have the difficult conversations in a state of reaction, and actually the difficult conversations we should probably be proactive about and plan and consider and think how we're going to deliver that and think how that's going to be received. And we tend not to do that with the people that are closest to us, right? We tend not to do that with the people that we see every day. We tend not to do that with the people where we kind of lost our temper a few times and now it's all a bit frayed, yeah? So that would be my second tip. My third tip would be, and it's kind of in the same vein, but it's slightly different. What is it that I'm trying to think of that phrase that people say? Is it, what is it, Madeline? Idle hands?
The devil makes work for idle hands.
Yeah, the devil makes work for idle hands. That's it. So hands that are not busy, you know, doing something, right? That are not, that don't have a job, the devil makes work for them. And it's especially true where you've got guests over, or, you know, your family members in the house, or you're living with friends, or you're going on holiday with friends, or whatever else it might be. Make sure that hands are not idle, yeah? So give them a job, and their job might be, it's like, and again, how you deliver this is really crucial. You know, it might be, for example, let's say I've got Bet, I've got Ketone, and I've got Casino, and we're on a holiday, and we're on a holiday with friends, okay? And I might say something along the lines of, let me make up a friend. Okay, I'm going to say, who?
Jenny.
We don't have friends called
Jenny.
So, Jenny. Sounds very serious. Jenny, could you do me a favour? I've got my hands full with Bet and Casino and, you know, keeping them, working on them, getting used to this new environment. If I give you Ketone's daily food allowance, while ever she's staying on that bed over there, would you fire a bit of food at her occasionally? And the nice thing about that, why are you glaring at me, Madeline?
Because I've just realised when I first met you, the little job I was getting to do.
It's all coming out. So would you fire bits of food at them? And the nice thing about that is that then Jenny's hands, not Madeline's, are not idle. And therefore the devil will not make work for them. Jenny nor Madeline will get creative, right? Instead, they will do their, you know, do their job and be clear about what they're doing. And I think sometimes we create space, and then family members or friends or guests get creative and fill that space with something that we don't want. And then we go, I don't want you doing that. Whereas actually we could have just stopped that and bypassed that, that whole thing. Final tip that I've got for you, and then we're going to do some cringe stories. Hey guys, I just want to take a little pause to let you know how you can get involved with the official Help My Dog membership hub. If you're enjoying geeking out about the science of dog behaviour, want to watch dogs practically being trained in real life, and you want to progress even further, you can join our members-only community and get targeted learning with me each and every week to help you combat your dog's struggles at home, on walks, and out and about. And right now, when you jump in, you can actually watch Gorse's behaviour rehabilitation from trauma to triumph in an over-the-shoulder video diary showing real-life situations. To find out more, just head over to www.helpmydog.com/hub. Final tip that I've got for you, and then we're going to do some cringe stories, is that just as you've probably heard me talk about the relationship bank account between you and your dog, yeah? Don't forget that family members also have a relationship bank account with the dog, right? And so you've got to consider, if you're the like dog person in the house, right? The person that's like really like on this journey, on this adventure, loving it, signed up for it, then you've got to almost take some responsibility for everybody else's relationship bank accounts. And you don't have to explain this concept of relationship bank account, right? They might not want a relationship with a great relationship with the dog. I don't know. It's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. But what you do is, in understanding this concept of, we make the relationship bank account more healthy by investing with positive interactions, and we make withdrawals. We want to avoid making withdrawals, and a withdrawal is anytime there's a negative interaction, when, you know, somebody gets frustrated, disappointed, annoyed with the dog. You get to be in control of that in some way. You get to say, hey, do you want to play a little game with them? And you make it an easy game, yeah? You get to say, hey, he really loves doing this particular trick. Do you want to have a go at doing it, right? The easy stuff, the fun stuff, that tops up that relationship bank account, right? There might be some things that your dog loves and they love, and yeah, you love doing that with your dog too, but you've got loads of other ways to invest in that relationship bank account. So you take a step back and you let them have that experience with their dog, because actually if the relationship bank account depletes, then getting them on board is going to be even harder. And we see this a lot in behavior consultation, where people in the same household have actually fallen out about what is happening with the dog. And it's not really about the dog's behavior. That's the thing. This is the key thing. It's not about the way that dog is behaving. It's not really about the behavior struggles. It's that the relationship bank accounts of each person have not been considered. Yeah, there's been the main kind of dog carer that has got this really healthy relationship bank account and can, you know, forgive the dog for all the craziness that has been thrown at them that day. The other person in the household is experiencing the same craziness or struggles or challenges or getting stretched. But their relationship bank account was empty because the good stuff wasn't shared out. And I can't stress this enough. That is within your control. That is one way that you can control how family members, people in the household feel about your dog, because you've got these positive interactions that you can share out, not keep them all for ourselves, right? Which sometimes we want to do. So, guys, I hope you found those tips useful. Now, the final tip for you on making sure that you have an amazing relationship with your dog and that your family members and friends and partners and whatever, whoever else has an amazing relationship with your dog is actually they will appreciate your dog more if they know how bad other people's are. So let's have some cringe stories. I joke. The whole purpose of this section of the podcast is for us to celebrate that dogs are not robots, and that's what we sign up for. We just forget about it sometimes. So Madeline's got some cringe stories that have been emailed in. And guys, if you've got a cringe story that is just like embarrassing, funny, you know, you're almost like doing confession, then just email cringe@helpmydog.com and Madeline will be giggling away to herself in the kitchen. I'm slaving over a hot stove. She's prepping
have the next joke now, Tom. What's the next joke?
She's picking, reading your cringe stories.
With my whip.
I'm wiping sweat off my brow.
Faster, I'm hungry.
All right, let's do this. So, my parents were visiting and Mum was in the kitchen making sandwiches for lunch.
Yeah, how topical.
Ooh, yeah. She finished Dad's sandwich first and put it at his place at the table. It sounds like, the Three Little Bears? What is it? Three Little Bears?
What? Goldilocks.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, no, it's Goldilocks.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see how that relates. Continue.
She finished Dad's sandwich. What's it called?
Goldilocks.
Oh, is it? It's
bears.
Called Goldilocks.
Yeah, Goldilocks.
It's called Three Little Bears anyway.
Three Little Bears.
She finished Dad's sandwich first and put it at his place at the table. Daddy Bear. So no. When Dad came to sit down, he discovered that the top piece of bread was missing from his sandwich. Heather, my black lab, was nearby. Dad immediately realised what had happened. He took his plate into the kitchen and informed Mum that Heather had eaten his sandwich and he needed a new one. Mum looked at his plate. The lettuce, ham and bottom piece of bread were undisturbed. She slapped another piece of bread on top. There you go, she informed him. Dad was horrified. But there was dog slobber on my sandwich, he said in disbelief that she expected him to eat the remainder of a sandwich that had been partially eaten by a dog. This is very on topic, isn't
it? It's very on topic.
And I've watched Heather pick up food, Mum informed him. She's very careful and gentle. The rest of your sandwich is fine. This is perfect example of where the relationship bank account of one owner is overflowing and they're forgiving. And the other owner is like, no, that mouth is dirty. Dad was still holding out his plate, expecting a new sandwich. You can eat that sandwich or make your own, but I'm not making another one. You should have been at the table and she wouldn't have gotten it to begin with, Mum said in a tone that indicated the conversation was over and the dog wasn't the problem. Dad ate his sandwich, but he looked as if he thought Mum was in cahoots with the dog and trying to poison him. So he didn't make a sandwich.
No, lazy old dad.
That's amazing. Right. The battle of the wills. Okay. Next one. When my big girl was still a puppy, she went through a phase of presenting her favourite toy to anyone who visited. It was adorable until the favourite toy became a little problematic. She would happily beat anyone at the knees that she could with this favourite toy, trying to get them to play with her and the toy. This toy will get the humans awfully excited and making noises of disgust. And they would play the amazing game of restraining her and the toy away from themselves, turning it into an amazing wrestling match. This toy would go with her everywhere for a couple of months. For a couple of weeks, I did my best to get her to leave this toy alone, but my efforts of securing it or hiding it were unsuccessful. So I eventually gave in and purchased a brand new one for her. Thankfully, she accepted the new one instead of the one that she kept stealing. Some battles just aren't worth it. Thankfully, she did finally grow out of her obsession with the toilet brush. That is horrendous. That is horrible. Don't put that in front of me.
Imagine getting smashed on the knees with that toilet brush.
Oh my gosh. That is horrible.
Oh,
right.
That's funny.
That's not Valentine's Day.
No, I know. I just thought it was funny for the pot.
Right. I used to foster and had two dogs at the same time. A very energetic Belgian shepherd called Rex and a very overweight, almost obese Labrador called Carrie, who couldn't get to the end of the path without sitting down and panting. One evening, I was walking Rex and Carrie at the park and Carrie sat down, so I had to stop Rex, sat down as well. And I sat down as well. A few minutes later, Rex saw a cat and started pulling on her lead. I, for some reason...
What? I knew this would confuse you. Go on, read on.
I, for some reason, wore thongs for our walk. And when Rex pulled on the... like flip-flops.
Yes.
Thing is, with the Help My Dog podcast, it could have been either way, couldn't it? Right. I, for some reason, wore thongs for our walk, and when Rex pulled on the lead, I slipped, falling face forward as Rex's lead slipped from my hand, and she shot off towards the cat. I was flat on my stomach with a broken thong. I was flat on my stomach with a broken thong, screaming, "Rex, come back," with my hand twisted back, holding Carrie's lead. I couldn't run after Rex as Carrie was flopped on the sidewalk, me lying with my broken thong. Finally, Rex came back, stinking, drenched in water from the duck pond and covered in mud and algae. It took me 3 days to get rid of her smell. We walked home, two dogs, one overweight, one covered in mud, smelling horrible. And me walking down the path with a broken thong. That is amazing. Can that win a mug?
It can win a mug. I don't think that they appreciated how funny we'd find that.
Thank you.
It's actually very difficult to walk with a broken flip-flop, though. If it's ever happened to you,
you have to walk with
like a curled-up foot, like a claw.
Madeline got some clogs recently.
I did!
She got some clogs and she's been complaining of a sore back. And I have to now point out that it may well be the wooden shoes that she's wearing. And she has to walk with her... She has to, like, clench her toes to keep them on her feet. But fashion dictates that she must continue to clog around.
Oh no, the very end.
So, awesome. Right, guys, happy Valentine's Day. That was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day, a wonderful week. Please, please, please keep sending these stories in. They are hilarious. Really, take my word for it. When you start being proactive in your approach to getting family members, friends, and guests on board, it's a totally different experience. So implement the learning, and we'll see you next time.